Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
What this church is built upon, it's based upon, is our trust in God. Okay, and I'm just going to break that down just for a minute as a preface to the message tonight. Okay, and the preface is that we live by faith, but that faith, and just to help you, because that faith becomes very generalized. It's like other faiths, you know. People say what other belief systems and other, but what that faith is, it's really trust. It comes from the Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, and it just essentially, I mean, it just boils down to trust. and with that trust, it's reliance. And so if I look at that, if you write down those three words, and the way I did it in my notes when I was just thinking about this, and what I wrote down is faith hyphen trust hyphen reliance, okay? And it just made it clear for me. And I think it's important for us to take these basic things and make sure that we've got them written on the tablets of our heart. And the way I do that, I remember when I was a brand new Christian, and somebody said, man, allow God to write his word on the tablets of your heart. That's what the word says. And I thought, okay, I ought to be writing it down too, just because it kind of made sense. If God was going to write it, I could write it. And I don't know how, like right now, it still makes sense. I don't know that I can explain it though. But that reliance is what we rely upon. And in your business, okay? So how many of you guys work for a living? Anybody in here work for a living? And well, in your business, there's certain things that you begin to, you get good at, and you begin to rely upon it, okay? You put your reliance in it. And understand that a synonym of that reliance is trust and faith. Okay, and this is where it gets kind of, it gets troublesome for me in pastoring people, because there's so many people that, man, you get a bad report in the job, in the industry that you're in, and now I'm not sure I can rely upon what I've been doing, and it shakes you. And I believe that's one of those storms that continually and regularly hit our lives. And the Bible says it's dependent upon where our foundation is. If our foundation is on the rock, then that means we're trusting God. Our reliance is in God, not in that industry, not in that market. I'm telling you right now that your industry could dry up and blow away, and God's going to meet all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But listen, but see, you look at it, you think, okay, I can be footloose and just carefree and whatever in my job, and you can't. You have to work heartily as if unto the Lord. See, you've got to be, you got to give your best effort and strive, and listen, put your best foot forward and run as one who wins on the job, and be a witness and make an impact by what you produce, because the kingdom is based upon production, whether we like it or not. I mean, we are saved for good works, but so much so that Jesus said this. Here's what Jesus said about production. Jesus said, the works that I do, you'll do. And you're thinking, okay, so I guess since we're going to do the works, we're going to produce like Jesus. And what Jesus said was, the works that I do, you'll do, but greater because I go to my Father. Well, wait a second. That just put a lot of responsibility on me. And I'm telling you, bingo. You know, it's easy for me to say, without him, I can do nothing. Would you agree with that? But I'm telling you, what God would say is, without us, he can do nothing. This whole thing is determined by people buying in. See, we as Christians, we're not selling anything, but we're sold. As a Christian, what you're saying is, I'm sold. I'm sold out, I'm all in, I'm maxing out on this promise. That's what I'm gonna do. And see, so I look at this, and turn your Bibles, you guys bring your Bibles? Turn your Bibles to John, the 15th chapter. And if you don't have a Bible and don't have an app on your phone or don't have an iPad or don't have your computer here or don't, then maybe scoot over by somebody that has a Bible or maybe you get it, because it's important for you to see this, and not just on the screens. We put the screens up here, and it's more for effect, I think, because I think it's important for you to have your Bible with you, and I'm telling you, wherever you go, Man, the Bible says, man, we keep it in front of us, right? Man, we meditate on it day and night. I don't want to rely. I have a pretty keen memory, okay? And it, sometimes it's selective, wouldn't you say, Sandy? Sometimes it's a selective memory. It's pretty keen, but I don't want to rely upon my memory. I want that word, that sure word of prophecy, that sure word of truth, that sure word of faith. Man, I love God's word. But listen, John, the 15th chapter, we'll start at the first verse. And what Jesus said, I'm the true vine, okay? That's what's interesting is he's not just a vine. He said, I'm the true vine. See, there's other things that you can graft yourself in. We're the branches. He's the vine. He said, and my Father is the vine dresser. This is a big deal. Okay, Jesus said, I'm your source. And then he said, look, God the Father is going to be who's going to take care of you. And it's going to be interesting here in the next few verses how God takes care of us. But he said, I'm the true vine. Okay, you see that? Man, not your job, not your investments, man, not the economy, but who? Jesus is the true vine. And Jesus was the Word made flesh. See, to make it real easy for you, Jesus and God's Word are synonymous. They're the same thing. The same thing. All right? So the way we look at this is that Jesus said, I'm the true vine, my Father's the vine dresser. And then verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Okay? And I'll tell you, I'll keep reading. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Now, the last thing I want in my life when I'm bearing fruit, the last thing is to be pruned. And I'm telling you, I could arguably say that I am pruned more than anybody in this room because it's me. See, we personalize these things. If you were up here and you had the mic and you were speaking tonight, you'd probably say, man, I'm pruned more than anybody. That's what it seems like for me. It seems like the pruning that goes on in my life. But here's the great side of that. The great side of that is I'm surrounded by such a great team, such fruitful people, such amazing, productive people, that there's so much fruit that's happening. And here he says, look, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Why? And this is where the good side is, that it may bear more fruit. And see, a lot of times we look at this and we have to think, wait a second, man, we got it going. Why would we stop? No, it's the way we have to look at this is God. The way God does this, he's never going to change it. No matter how much you whine about it, man, no matter what. And see, here's what's interesting. In life as people, and I believe this in church too, there's three types of people. There's sheep, there's goats, and there's wolves. And you know what? I'm telling you, there's people that I've talked to, and I'd say, man, you've got goat-like tendencies, man. Man, I'm a shepherd. I'm a pastor, just and even by nature, Sandy is, that will tell people, it's like, look, man, you're being goat-like here. But then there's also people you're being wolf-like. You need, and see, both of those, when those tendencies start being produced in our lives, man, we have to repent. And Acts 3:16 talks about our repentance, man, is going to bring times of refreshing of the Lord, and God's going to forgive us. Man, and you know what? Your excuse of your personality and that you're bullheaded, man, it doesn't carry any weight here. See, we always want to be sheep. We always want to be tender. We always want to be kind. You look at the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is not a goat. The fruit of the Spirit is not a wolf. See, we don't want to be that. And let me just tell you, I think by nature I would rather be a goat than a sheep, just what I know of it. I'd rather be a wolf than any of it. But you know what? Man, my flesh can't have that. Man, you look around, what are you? Man, I'm a sheep. I'm essentially defenseless. But see, what God does is, man, he makes it so that we have to rely on him, his word, his house, his people. See, so we're sheep now. And Jesus said, look, I'm the vine, I'm the true vine, and we're the branches, and whom God, the Bible says, whom God loves, he corrects or he chastises. How many of you guys like to be corrected? How many of you guys like to be corrected and it'd be obvious, be found? No, you know what? But that's how God does it. Man, there's a constant reproof, a constant correction that's happening in our lives. Matter of fact, that's Holy Spirit ministry. Man, New Testament ministry is correction, reproof, and edification. Okay, write that down. Correction, reproof, and edification. That's what the Bible says. So we all know what correction is. Reproof is this. Yeah, you know what? You put up great numbers a week ago or a month ago or a year ago. Man, what are you doing right now? That's reproof. There's a reproving that has to happen in our lives. Edification is building up. Man, this word tonight, it might bother people because it might be corrective. This word tonight, but understand, it's only corrective because God loves us. And he can't change, so his word's going to be corrective. See, it's correction, reproof, edification. So now we go to verse 3 here in John, the 15th chapter. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. This is amazingly huge. Underline that, highlight it, write it down. You're already clean because of the word that has been spoken to you. Think about how powerful that is. That here, let me put it this way. Let me tell you how powerful God's word is. This is before the crucifixion. This is before the resurrection. This is before the new birth. This is the first time since Adam and Eve fell that the spoken word, listen, cleansed people. Do you understand that there's a cleansing process? You know, it's interesting because Pastor Sandy, she told me that, and other people, they have to tell me because I don't know how to do the test, that her love language is words of affirmation. And that's mine too. I think that's probably everybody's in here. Mine's acts of service, I hear, okay? Which fits pretty good. And what I do is prompting people to service. So acts of service, it's like, okay, it's my love language. But yours might be something else. Scott, do you know what yours is? You don't even know. What's God, Sandy? What do you think it is? What are they? They're words of affirmation. They're gift giving. They're gift giving. He loves to give gifts. See, because he's just such a giver. Scott's a giver. But Brian, what are you? Huh? Gift getting. That would be. I almost said something, but it's culturally insensitive. Okay, but so with this, no, we look at it that understanding that in this, man, the way this looks is Jesus spoke to those guys and it cleansed them. See, you know what's happening to you right now? You're listening to the word. Every time you listen to the word, it cleanses you. There's a cleansing that happens in your life, a cleansing, a purification that happens in your heart. Man, it's so phenomenal. And it's so powerful, it happened before the crucifixion, before the resurrection, before the new birth, before the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. See, we have to live in the word. That's everything about us. But see, what the troubling part of this, and it's the title of the message tonight, is to be continued. Because we all want, it's interesting, nobody wants to change, but everybody wants new. Man, how many guys want a new car? How many guys want a new house? How many guys want new boots? How many guys want a new Harley? How many guys want new stuff? We look at this and we want new, but there's things that are appropriate for our life in the kingdom that become monotonous and routine. I got to pray again. I got to get in the word again. I've got to forgive again. I got to hear this word again. I got to go to church again. How many times do you want me to go to church? This is crazy. I want to get out of here. You know what? I'm just telling you, okay? If you have to get out of here, I'm going to be here in a couple years when you come back, all right? And it will forgive you. We'll let it go. But we have to look. You have to understand that so much of this is routine. So much of this is, it becomes monotonous. It's like, God, I want it to be fresh. And you know what? I open it up and it boils down. It is bread. It's the bread of life. That's what it is. Man, we could try to make it pumpernickel, but at the end of the day, it is bread. And we have to look at this and understand, but in that monotony, in that routine, it cleanses us. Man, it takes care of us. Man, the last thing we need in our life is filth. The last thing we need is uncleanness. Man, you get into a situation and it's like, man, there's something unclean about this. You got to start speaking the word. Man, that's what you do. Man, you speak the word. And the Bible says in season and out of season. Why? Because the spoken word, man, there's power in it. It's called the Rhema word of God. There's power in the spoken word, but also it cleanses people hearing it. Man, it changes people's hearts. It changes people's lives. In Ephesians, the first chapter and the third verse, Paul writes and said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." That is a mouthful, okay? And I'm just going to pause here just because it is so powerful. Verse four, "just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world." Now listen to this, "that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which," listen, "he made us accepted in the beloved." The two things that I want to bring out of verse four and verse six, "that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." How? Man, I'll tell you, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How? I'll tell you, it goes back to the washing of the water of the word. It goes back to the active word in our lives. I'll tell you why it's hard to forgive people. It's not because of what they've done. It's not because of how heinous it is. It's about how much recent word you have had in your life. Man, that word is alive and it's powerful, but it's also active. Man, we don't want it to be there and not be refreshed ever, not be stirred up ever. Man, if you're going through things, I'm telling you, there is life in the word. Man, that's where God's life is. It's in his word. See, we look at it. That's how we activate God's love. Man, that's how we activate God's forgiveness in our lives. Man, we recognize the lordship of Jesus. He becomes so real to us. Man, we recognize the lordship of God's word in our lives. Why? Jesus was the word made flesh. Man, and he lived among us. And you know what? God wants his word to live among us. There's something to us not resisting the monotonous through God's word. Man, it's not boring. It's life to those who find it. It's health to all their flesh. It's the bread of life. But you know what? It doesn't satisfy our flesh. It's contrary to everything our flesh is wanting. I'll tell you, we're at the halfway point of our fast. And I'm telling you, man, I can say this, I'm having an incredible experience in this fast. Incredible. But I'll also tell you, I'm hungry. I'll also tell you, I sit and it's like other people are eating stuff and they're ordering stuff and I don't even want to be with them. So I got to check myself. So it's not like I'm not getting in front of you and saying, man, I got my cape out in the truck. I'm Superman. Not at all. But I'm having an incredible experience in this fast. Not relying on food. Not satisfying my flesh every time it has a little hunger pain or I get a craving for something. Man, not at all. See, and what we've got to look at in our lives now is this how we have to live our lives. Or we have to live a fasted life from our flesh. See, what happens is that I wish I'd have recorded it because I was talking to Brooklyn and Press yesterday at lunch with Sandy and we're just talking. And I was talking about moderation. I said, the reason the Bible says, "Let your moderation be known of all men," is because now you're not at extremes. You know, we're not getting up and saying, okay, it's 2015, we are gonna fast the entire year. So by March, we're all walking in as like skeletons with skin on them, you know, and I'd shake your hand, but I can't lift my arm kind of feel. And so we're not in that extreme, but we're also not throwing caution to the wind and just saying, hey, let's eat and drink for tomorrow we die, because that's what the Gentiles and the heathen do. See, so we have to look at our lives that we need to live. We need to live in that moderate place, that moderation place, where you don't not get things. You don't keep things. We're not taking a vow of poverty here. What we're doing is we're taking a vow of holiness. And see, and that's the idea, where God's word makes us holy and blameless. And that moderation keeps us in that place where, you know what, we can live in that then. Man, we don't have to get everything we want. You know, it's interesting. They did a study, 20 or 30 years ago, of a group of children, preschool kids, and they came in and they brought a plate with a marshmallow on it. And it's in this classroom setting, and that little kid sitting there with that marshmallow. And I don't know a little kid that doesn't love marshmallows, okay? So these kids, the marshmallow, and they said, listen, you can have this marshmallow, you can eat it, it's yours. But if you wait 15 minutes, we'll bring you another marshmallow, so you get two. And I don't even know if those kids knew what 15 minutes was. And I'm just watching the videotape. And what's interesting is that they were doing a study on delayed gratification. And it was just phenomenal, the results of it. And they showed the videos of it. There was one little girl, she was so cute. She had to be probably 4 or 5 years old. She put her hands behind her back so she couldn't grab that marshmallow. And she leans down, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, she's going to eat it. And you know what? She didn't. She put her nose on that marshmallow, and she's just smelling it. She closed her eyes. She's just smelling that marshmallow like this. And then she sat up, and there's a little white dot on the end of her nose from that marshmallow. But you know what? The report came back. Man, the children that ate that marshmallow and couldn't stop themselves and had to have the instant gratification, man, they had trouble. They dropped out of school. There was alcohol and drug abuse. That a lot of them were incarcerated. You know what? The ones that didn't have to eat it, that got the second marshmallow, just delayed gratification, man, it was phenomenal. The degrees they hold, the successes, the inventions they've had, the incredible things. And I think there's something to do with that, that fasting for us, this fast for me, what it's done is like, look, there's this huge delayed gratification going on in my life right now. Well, you know what? The Word does that too. See, and what we think is that we think that God, that there's a magic wand and fairy dust attached to God's word, and there's not. See, you know, your character and your integrity factors into God's promises in your life. Did you know that? You know, you men, if I don't honor Sandy, my prayers are hindered. See, we've got to understand the way we live matters. Write that down. The way we live matters. And what impacts the way we live? Man, God's word does. The cleansing power of the washing of the water of the word that cleanses us. Man, we're all being cleansed right now. Why? The word's being preached. Man, I don't need instant gratification. I don't want to say, hey God, here we go. Here's what I need. Let's go. God, I'm ringing the bell. You better get here. No, you know what? Man, this isn't a Pavlov's dog experience for us. This is something where it's like, you know what? I can wait patiently for the Lord. It's interesting because I was talking to Taylor about his message tonight at sub 30, and there was a verse where it talked about, man, God waiting upon us and us waiting patiently for the Lord. And he was preaching from Psalm 27. And I found these old notes that had 21 instances in the Word of what happens when we wait upon the Lord. Man, we just put our trust in him. Man, I'm patient. You know why? By nature, I don't believe I'm very patient. Am I, Sandy? But I am now, right? Because that's a wonderful woman right there. but listen, I'm not. I don't think by nature I'm very patient. I want it. I want it now. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. I'm in a rush. Get out of my lane. I'm bumping people on the highway just because they're in my lane. Why are you in my lane? There's other lanes for you. This is my lane. But the bottom line is, you know what? I decided to be patient. You know why? Because our patience triggers God's perfect work in our lives. Let patience have its perfect work. See, so now we go back to the notes here that I have. And listen to this, Colossians 1:23. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven. Colossians 4:2 says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourselves and those who hear it. You hear that? Those who hear it. 2 Timothy 3:14. But you must continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that your childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to tell Timothy, look, man, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Man, you got to trust in that scripture. I know you've been trusted since you were a boy, but you got to stay in it. What did he say? He said, continue earnestly. Man, pray vigilantly. Why? Why would you have to be earnest? Why would you have to be vigilant? Because your flesh doesn't want to. See, I'm telling you, there's things that we have to continue, no matter how monotonous it is to our flesh. It's important for us to continue and to make sure that we're faithful in these endeavors. And they simply are. There's four simple things, simple points. Is just continue in the faith. Just trust God no matter what happens. No matter what happens, I'm going to trust God. The other one is that we stay connected, serving God and his house. See, I think that if no matter what, if the standard of my life is that I'm going to put my trust in God, I'm not going to trust reports. People aren't going to like it. I get it. But you know what? I'm going to trust God. No matter what, I'm going to put my trust in God. See, and then I'm going to continue in that trust. I'm going to continue relying upon God, no matter what the market says. See, I think that when we begin to trust God, you know, I tell you, it's interesting. I was talking to Omar is in financial management and investments and other kinds of things. And I had an opportunity last spring to get involved in an investment. And I sat and I met with this guy, and we had coffee, and then we met again for breakfast another time. And man, it was like, oh my gosh, it's a reasonable investment, and it's a great return, and it's just perfect. And you know what? I had a pause in my heart about it. I just thought, okay, why is this coming out of nowhere, and he's given this to me? Okay, I started thinking that, and then you know what happened? That whole market has turned, and the whole market has gone flat. Man, there's people being laid off that's in that market, the whole thing. And you know what? But you know what? I had a pause in my spirit about making that investment. I think Sandy said, hey, Bill, I trust you. Man, now it's like, okay, I'm going to hear from God. And the bottom line is I didn't make the investment and the whole thing turned. You know what? I hope for his sake that it comes back. But I'm just telling you, for me, when I choose to continue in the faith, and you should write this down, God forewarns us and forearms us. Okay? Because the devil's seeking whom he may devour. Who he can devour are people that can be tantalized and seduced by his doubts and get into unbelief. We have to stay connected, serving God and his house. Man, there's that I've heard so many instances where God has rewarded people for staying beyond their comfort zone, serving in an area, committing to a service, committing to ministry. Man, I think about it. You know, for me, I'll tell you, the one for me that I get convicted about all the time is that as a brand new believer, God gave me a passion for soul winning, praying with people, leading people to the Lord. Man, I had a passion about it. I got such a confidence. And I'm telling you, man, the first 2, 3, and 4 years that I was a Christian, man, I couldn't not confront somebody with the life-giving, life-changing message of Jesus. Well, you know what? As response, I started coaching football, and then we went into ministry, and I'm leading people to the Lord in a public setting like this. But my personal evangelism, my personal walk with the Lord, you know what? Man, I didn't have a need for it because it was being satisfied in other areas. Well, you know what? God's convicted me about that. Because at the end of the day, man, I have a passion for winning the lost, for soul winning. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay connected with God, with his house, and I'm going to be the soul winner God called me to be. See, that it's interesting because there's a coach that goes to church here, and he had a coach who was a friend at the same high school that he worked at that he'd been ministered to and praying with for a couple years. And then finally he said, Pastor, he said he'd go to lunch with you. Would you please go to lunch and just see if you could pray with him and you could lead in the Lord? And I said, well, sure. I remember that, man, I got there, and then my friend got there who came to the church here as a coach, and then that other coach was a little late, and he came in, man, sorry, I'm late. Well, now I'm pressured. Now I don't have the same amount of time to have lunch that I did 20 minutes before when he was supposed to be there. So he sat down, and the waiter came over, and we ordered lunch, and he goes, well, I guess we're all here. I said, yeah. I said, is it time for you to give your life to Jesus? Is it time for you to get your life right with God? He He said, yes, sir, it is. I said, okay, give me your hand. He gave me his hand. I prayed with him. It was literally the first 45 seconds of the meeting. And the coach that I was with was just in shock. But let me just tell you, I believe it's because, man, that's what God's called me to. I got to be faithful to that. I got to stay hooked up with it. Man, some of you guys are so amazing in areas, but it's like, well, but what about the next rung? What about the next level? I don't know that there are next levels when it comes to serving basically the least of those. Man, see, we've got to understand that. Man, there's no comely and uncomely parts. There's no people here that aren't equipped for service in this house. So we continue in the faith. We stay connected. Be holy. Man, the Bible says, be holy as he is holy. And I'll tell you, the whole idea of being holy, it's not ethereal. All right? Jeremy, it's spending time with Jesus. That's how you're holy. Be holy as he is holy. We spend time with Jesus, listen, three ways. In his word, in his house, with his people. Man, you want to live a holy life? You live your life in God's word. One day in his house is better than 1,000 elsewhere. So you know what? I'd rather be in his house. In his word, in his house, and listen, with his people. They may not tell the best jokes. They may not be the coolest. They may not be the most fashionable. But I'm just telling you, you spend time in his word, in his house, and with his people, let me tell you, odds are you're gonna live a holy life. And you know what the Bible says? Holy, listen to this, and blameless. Oh my gosh. Man, that anvil comes off your chest. Man, that weight comes off your shoulders. And finally, the fourth thing is that we're accepted. And continue in the faith, stay connected, be holy, and we're just accepted. John 15 talks about us being, we're truly grafted in. We're branches in that vine. And Ephesians 1:6, we go back to, he made us, 1:6, he made us accepted in the beloved. Man, he made us that way. That's who we are now. You know, I know that this was more of a teaching time for us tonight, but it's one of those where I feel like it's just soft toss. It's easy to catch. Man, this life is not, listen, this life is not a hard life. It's hard on your flesh. See, if you're really departmentalized, if you look at it, they go, it's going to be hard on my flesh, but this is an easy life to live. It really is. It really is. I'm going to live my life, and I'm going to put a value on God's word. I'm going to put a value on God's house, and I'm going to put a value on God's people. Man, you do that. Man, it's hard. How many guys have spent at least the last 45 minutes in this room? Can I see your hands? How much sin did you get into? Huh? Kim, how much sin did you get into in the last 45 minutes? You're refrained from sin. That's probably not even a personal best 45 minutes, huh? You probably spent a lot longer time than that. But see, listen, why do you think that is? Why do you think? Do you think that you, did you live a holy life for the last 45 minutes? Yes. You know why? The word was spoken over you and it cleansed you. You're holy as he's holy. You're holy as his word is holy. Now you're wrapped up in his word. Man, you're in his word. You're in his house. You're with his people. What's the common denominator? Man, there's no sin. Man, you're not in here. And we look at it, and the bottom line is that's the only way, the seven deadly sins, that's the only way you counter them in your flesh is you crucify your flesh. How do you crucify your flesh? You put the ultimate devotion on God's word, on God's promise. And then you know what? You'll be holy and blameless without spot or wrinkle. The Bible says, listen, a perfect man. Do you know you're sitting here listening to the word? In God's house, with God's people, man, with God, I'm telling you, the enemy, God, you're perfect.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.